believe that the word is truth. And unfortunately, you know, if we think about man's perspective of truth, it can really mean anything we want it to mean. As a matter of fact, we have perverted truth here in the world so that God is no longer a part of it. But even though we can misrepresent the truth, there are some absolutes. Even in the world, there are absolutes. You know, we can change and manipulate things in different ways, but the truth is, one of the absolute truth is that you can't jump to the moon. You know what? You can't breathe without air. Those are truths. We can't change those. And for you men in this place, if you're newly married and you have a wife, there's one truth. If the mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Right? So, all kidding aside, we will misrepresent the truth based on our own experiences and misunderstanding. For example, if we read or hear something on a topic that we're interested in, and we read enough of it, don't we sometimes feel that we're the expert when that topic comes up in conversation? How many of us have you ever used WebMD? I know someone that looks up every condition they have and turns it into something like cancer or some exotic disease. I mean, reading WebMD, now we have become the doctor. You know, doctors hate the fact that you read WebMD. You know, like everybody comes in with all of, I've got this, doc, just give me some medicine for it. I know I got it. My point is that we just as we recreate and misrepresent earthly truths, we also recreate and misrepresent spiritual truths. So if you find yourself needing to be right and knowing all things to prove that you know something, stop it. You know, it's not necessary for you to prove that you are right in everything. It's not necessary for you to even throw scripture out to prove that you know something. But we need to really interpret the Bible from its truth perspective and listen and read everything that's in scripture so that when we bring a word out, we do it with humility. We do it with representing Christ as Christ would want it represented, not in our own representation of it. We are not the center of the universe, but you may be the beginning of someone else's salvation. Amen. Now, getting back to absolutes, just as there are absolutes in God's creation, there is also spiritual absolutes. And one of the absolutes is the word is truth. I get the amens on some of that, but I know that there's some of us here that really are confused by some of the things that the world has said about the Bible and some of the things that we've read that we haven't grasped yet. We haven't grasped the spiritual understanding. As Christians, it's imperative that we believe that God's word is truth. You know, the Bible has some unique attributes. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by a great and diverse variety of men who were inspired by God. Now, you will get that comment made by somebody who's a non-believer arguing against the fact, well, it was written by men. But when you think of it, there were doctors and scholars, there were kings and shepherds, prophets, fishermen, and statesmen, all wrote scripture over these 1,500 years. The fact that it maintains complete harmony between all of the writings is an amazing thing and a testimony to Scripture itself. That proves that it is God-inspired in some way. I mean, you can't have one book discounting another one, and it doesn't do that. Everything flows. It's God's inspiration to bring his word to his people through men that he has had relationships with. So men can interpret the word of God based on their relationship with him. And you know, Paul, who was of course inspired by the Old Testament and living according to the law of God, came to write many books of the New Testament based on the inspiration that he received from God. We have the words of God written on our heart when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit brings that understanding to us. And it doesn't have to be in the term of words. It's an understanding that we can speak clearly when we know the word. There have been hundreds of copies of this, of ancient text, even before Christ, that show a preservation of his message throughout time. You know, the Holy Scripture, all of these old things, by the way, and I'm going to get to this, but there's nothing that discounts the Word of God. Everything in the Word of God, historically and otherwise, has not been proven wrong by anybody. As many people who try to prove it, and I'm going to talk about that, who try to prove the Bible wrong, they are unable to do so. It's probably one of the most criticized and blacklisted books in the world. When you think about it, have you ever thought about, you know, sometimes you might think that there's so many people against the Bible, then why should I believe? Maybe I'm believing wrong. But the only thing that I can account for the fact that the Bible changes people's lives. It brings conviction to the heart, and for those who are fighting against following what's right, they will try to make the Bible sound wrong. And you figure you've got groups of people in religions that don't want the truth brought to their people. So it gets blacklisted in countries like Islam and those kinds of areas where you can't have a Bible because they're afraid, just like that little Muslim girl who is seeking, they're afraid that somebody might seek and find the truth. Amen? Just as we here have found the truth, hopefully everybody in here is seeking to know more about what God wants out of them in their lives. I think conviction is a terrible thing to waste. We should all have conviction in our hearts. You know, we should all be convicted by something. There's nothing wrong with conviction. And you know, and that's something that as we learn and understand and believe in the truth of the word, that when we deliver it to others, it becomes conviction to them as well. You know, change is difficult, right? I mean, if you're a Christian and trying to change your life to follow Christ, you realize that it's difficult. So we just need to be prepared to walk through the challenges so that we can bring the truth, not just to ourselves, but to others. You know, the Bible claims itself to be the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." And the following Scripture states how it was delivered to men. In 2 Peter 1:16 through 21, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." So men actually even heard the voice of God speaking. And it also said in 19, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. "And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So we can see that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to men as spoken here by Peter since the beginning of time. All the prophetic words that came out, and I'm going to talk about the prophetic words as well. But, you know, the book either satisfies its claim or it's not a good book. It's not the good news if it doesn't satisfy its claim. So we need to grasp this. However, you know, the funny thing is, if it's not a good book, the Bible continues to be the best-selling book in the world every year over the history of time. And that's because we give what, millions of them away a year, don't we? Why? Because the Spirit of God is still working in men today, leading, inspiring, and directing our hearts. Whenever we realize that we are missing something, we start looking. And the only book that really delivers is the Bible. I don't care what book you read out there, there's nothing that establishes a relationship with their God more than the Bible does. It is imperative that we understand that. The Bible is the only source of truth for men who have been touched by God. Bible has historical accuracy. Many of the Bible's locations and traditions have been found and confirmed by field workers and researchers that study ancient history. There's no, and I mentioned this earlier, no historical evidence or findings have ever discredited any of the Bible references. None. And you know, men have tried to disprove the Bible. The atheists want to discredit that word, and they can't do it. As a matter of fact, something else happens. One of the things that I was reading on, and I was kind of curious, I don't know, when I first became saved and I heard the story of Jericho and the fact that, you know, they danced around, you know, seven times and the walls fell down. It was kind of like, initially as a young Christian, it was kind of like, that's kind of a weird story. But you know something? They have an excavation of Jericho, and they found it. And the walls appear to have fallen outward versus what an army would have done. They would have rammed them inward. So there's also the back wall. I don't know if you know the story of Rahab, you know, who held the spies. The back wall where Rahab's house was located was the only wall left standing. And that's because, if you remember, the spies told Rahab to bring her family into the house and they would be saved. I think that's kind of, there was three different excavations of that site. Back in the 30s, two of them in the 50s, and then there was some, in 97, where, you know, this location is in Palestine. It's in the Palestinian homeland. And they brought in some Italian archaeologists to come in and disprove that this was Jericho. Well, the other part of the ruins kind of were like, you couldn't see, they didn't represent anything anymore, but the things that the new discoveries that the Italians made that were trying to discredit the Jericho, and that's what they said, this isn't Jericho because it's not here. When the other individuals went back to look at it, it showed that the walls had tumbled outward, which was proof that this was still Jericho. It was the walls. It actually was a finding that they didn't find the first time. So the historical proof is there. There is more proof from Sir William Ramsay, who studied under a famous liberal German historical school that taught that the New Testament was not a historical document. Now, he was regarded as one of the greatest archaeologists that ever lived. More proof I'm sorry, he was an archaeologist, but he was also an atheist who tried to disprove the Bible. In an attempt to disprove, his first attempt was to disprove the Bible through the book of Acts. But as he was going through and doing whatever historical, grabbing all the historical information he could of the area, he became so impressed with Luke's accuracy that he declared Luke as a historian of the first rank. Now, this is an atheist now. He claims Luke's historical accounts as unsurpassed in respect to its trustworthiness. And then he shocked all of his peers and the intellectual world by declaring himself a Christian. That's what happens when men try to discredit the Bible. The actual reverse can happen if they really listen to and grab the facts and the truth. He had converted based on the evidence of the truth that actually was provided by Luke. There is evidence of fulfilled prophecy. I read that there were 61 specific prophecies that were clearly fulfilled in Christ. Some of these, and I'm just going to read a few of them, I can't go through all of them, but they include his birthplace, prophecies about his birthplace, the flight to Egypt, his ancestry, the slaughter of innocents, his being preceded by a messenger, who was John, and then the ministry starting in Galilee, his teaching with parables, his entry into Jerusalem on a colt, his betrayal by a friend, the 30 pieces of silver, all talked about in the Old Testament. His death upon a tree, the garments parted and lots cast, the gall and vinegar offered on the cross, his side pierced but no bones broken, and the darkness of the land, his burial with the rich, and his resurrection. No other religion in the world ever makes a pretense that its founder is still alive. Yet the prophets predicted the resurrection in Psalm 16:9 through 10. It said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay." And that's based on the resurrection of Jesus. You know, the funny thing is, remarkably, the exact timing of the Messiah's arrival was given in Daniel 9, 24 through 26. You know, he told exactly when Jesus would come. And the prophecy in Malachi says that the temple would be standing when Jesus came. And then in Matthew 24, 2, Christ prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. And it says, Matthew 24, 2 says, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now the temple had to stay there in order to, for Malachi's prophecy to be true, that Jesus would visit the temple. And then Jesus himself prophesied that the temple would be destroyed, and in 70 AD is when the temple was destroyed. Now here's some unique things, because in Genesis 49:10 it was prophesied that Judah would lose the scepter. That's the rabbi's right to capital punishment. And this had to happen so the prophecy of Psalm 22:16 would be accurate, that Jesus would die by crucifixion. In Psalm 22:16 it says, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me, they pierce my hands and my feet." So for that example of crucifixion to happen, see, that wasn't the way that the Jews carried out their punishment. That was a Roman thing. So the Jews, all of this had to come together so that those events could happen in the way it was prophesied. Now, you could say that some people, you know, could read the scripture and mock it, but you can't predict the birth accurately. There's so many things that you couldn't do, you couldn't act out because you read it. So scripture has to be truthful if the prophet, that the prophetic words are truthful to predict this event at this specific time, and all in the short time frame that it has to be accurate. 33 years, all of those prophecies from 1,500 years ago and going back 1,500 years had to be accurate for those things to happen within that 33-year period. Does that make sense? I mean, that's kind of astounding. And that's only a few of the 61 prophecies. I mean, I couldn't go into them all. I'd keep you here till midnight. Scientifically accurate. Scriptures in Job, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah, and I'm not going to go into these, but they explain the universe and scientific truths before scientists came to understand what was already told a millennia before. So there is knowledge. There was, you know, the Jews had medicine or ways to cure things that were far ahead of the time. They brought some of that when they were captured and in slavery. They brought a lot of that with them, which was passed along to their captors. But they actually had a lot of information that was given to them by God that was well understood before scientists or people even understood it. I mean, there was one of the famous, I don't know if it was Galileo, that predicted there was 1,002 stars in the sky, when previously it was stated that the stars were too numerous to count. So those may be simple things, but the fact of it is that they were a revelation given to them by God. Evidence of changed lives. We are a church full of changed lives, amen? Scripture speaks to the heart, like I said earlier, different than anything else. It is something that motivates men to change who they are and change what they've done in the past to more line up with what God is requiring of us. Hopefully everybody has made adjustments to their beliefs and understandings and the way they live their lives. If the Bible is reliable when it speaks historically, prophetically, and scientifically, then it is also a reliable spiritual source as well. When we read the Bible's references of God's abilities and his love for his people, we should also believe that those references are true. So if you read that God loves you, that he gave his only son to die for you on a cross, it's because it was God's desire that happened. And when we believe that the Bible is true, is the true word of God, we now have a premise to build our relationship with God. Because now we can read the word and we can take the impact of that word spiritually, and we can connect with God so that we can build a love relationship, which is what he's looking for. All scripture is God's intent to show who he is and to develop a relationship with us. When we accept the Bible as true and we build a relationship with God, it's the beginning of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and being anointed with the Holy Spirit, and are being anointed with the Holy Spirit. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we really can come to understand that the Word of God is true. When we believe that the Word is true, then all Scripture means more to us. Example, John 8:31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have a different interpretation of freedom sometimes, understanding what freedom really is. We are in a constant struggle with God, and our freedom really comes from yielding to God and having peace and doing whatever he asks, as opposed to just doing what we want to do. In John 14:15, it says, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because he does not see or know him. You know him because he lives with you and we will be in you. When you recognize that the Holy Spirit is with you, you get all revelation about anything that you ask God about. 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we've heard these scriptures many times, probably, but when we've accepted the Bible as truth, the scriptures are going to be more to us. They're going to clarify all things every time we read a word. As a matter of fact, you're going to get more revelation from reading scripture that you've read before, the more and more you pour into it with the Holy Spirit being part of it. And I'm just going to conclude here that we have our beliefs based on truth. If it is not, it will eventually be taken away by other belief systems, whether it is worldly or other religious counterfeits. God's word is truth, and it makes an exclusive claim on that path. There's no other religion that says that the only way to heaven is through this path. As a matter of fact, everybody's trying to open up that path because they don't want to be restricted to just following Jesus Christ. They don't want to have a Savior. They want to be able to believe in the God that they want to believe in and think they're getting to heaven. We need to grasp the truth and help others on the path to accept Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, prayer team.